Yalla Leap Podcast.
Yalla Leap Podcast.
Covering all the latest news and results from the AEW.
In a minute. Sean Spears. Chair shot right to the side of the head of Cody.
This is pro wrestling analysis as you've never heard before.
Deathly Hallows!
Might be it.
One, two, three, can save it!
Coming to you every single week. So without any further delay, let's go all in and get the show started right now.
What is going on, guys? Welcome to this week's edition of the All Elite Podcast. My name is Jeff Johnson. I am your host. The show is brought to you exclusively on the WWE Podcast. Guys, make sure you follow the podcast and subscribe on all of your podcasting platforms, whether that be Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, Stitcher, iHeartRadio, Pandora, wherever you guys get all your podcasts. Make sure you guys follow and subscribe to the WWE Podcast. And also, guys, before we get started, make sure you guys check out the rest of the episodes here on the WWE Podcast. We got Aiden's review of SmackDown that drops. We got Matt's reviews of WWE Raw from Monday nights. And we have Chris's great reviews of NXT that drop on Thursdays. And then, of course, you know, this show, the All Elite Wrestling Show. I hope you guys are enjoying this one as we're doing it. I've got some good feedback from you guys. You guys have been very, very boisterous, and you guys have seemed like you guys are liking it. So thank you for the warm welcome coming to this show. It's really been cool. It's been a great experience. So all right, guys. Well, before I start rambling on too much, why don't we get started, man? And we will get into the start of this week's edition of AEW Dynamite. So Dynamite actually started with a backstage interview conducted by Tony Schiavone with Adam Hangman Page. Page was ended up being joined by the Young Bucks, and the Young Bucks had asked Page, "What are we doing here? Why did you want us here?" And Page, I guess there's still some animosity between Page and Matt Jackson, not with Nick Jackson from what I could tell. This is strictly between Matt and Hangman. So. I don't know if they're going to do something with Nick where, you know, Nick's got to kind of pick a side or something. I don't know. It's kind of weird where they're going with this, but pretty much Hangman said that neither one of them are going to be his partner and that it's still going to be a mystery. And then he walked off. So we're going to wait a little bit longer to find out who Hangman Page's mystery partner is going to be against Chris Jericho and Sammy Guevara later on tonight. We go out to the arena, and we had our first match of the night between Cody and Ortiz. And this was actually a really good match, very back and forth, which I was surprised that Ortiz got as much offense as he did. But the match lasted a while, and it was very, very back and forth, and Cody ended up getting the victory in the end with a figure four leg lock. The most newsworthy thing to come out of this, though, was we got the arrival of Jake the Snake Roberts and his client, Lance Archer. So Lance, you know, there was rumors that Archer was going to be the client for Jake the Snake, but it wasn't 100% known. But it turns out that he is the client, and he is the one that Jake Roberts was talking about. They both took a seat at ringside not long after the match started. They watched about 80% of the match, and Archer was about to jump over the rail, but Jake stopped him, and then they just kind of walked away. They went to the back and you know, didn't see him again the rest of the match. But It was cool to see Lance Archer there because, you know, the news of him signing came out last week, and he was supposed to be on the show, but it was scrapped, and they waited for this week to kind of show him to the AEW world. So it was cool to see him. And if you guys know who Lance Archer is, he's a former Lance Hoyt from TNA, and he went over to New Japan as Lance Archer and did a lot of good stuff there. He had some great matches, a lot of physical matches. And including at New Japan this past year, where he faced the current AEW World Champion Jon Moxley in a street fight, and it was an incredible match. And Lance Archer, he's a stud, guys. He is very, very good. He's a great wrestler. So if you guys aren't acclimated to who he is, you guys are gonna be very, very impressed with him. So I'm really happy to see him in AEW. Well, after the match, Santana ended up attacking Cody. And that made Matt Jackson and Kenny Omega run down to the ring to kind of shoo him off. And as they're in the ring helping Cody, we see Chris Jericho, Jake Hager, and Sammy Guevara on the screen. Jericho talked about their big blood and guts match coming up in 2 weeks, which is the War Game style match between the Elite and the Inner Circle. And Jericho ended up telling, where's Matt, you know, or Matt, where's your brother Nick at? And the camera pans out to show Nick trapped underneath the garage door back there. And he's bleeding from the mouth, and there's a dent in the side of the door. And it was a pretty crazy scene. I mean, it looked pretty brutal. And it was very, very, very interesting segment. And you know, I like how they're doing this where Cody got the win to kind of give the Elite some momentum, but then Jericho and the Inner Circle showed up and kind of even the score, I guess, by taking out Nick Jackson. Of course, that made the rest of the Elite leave the ring and run to the back as the Inner Circle took off, and they ended up helping Nick out from underneath the garage door. But very, very good opening segment to the show. There was very newsworthy. I liked how they booked Ortiz to be strong against Cody, because it shows that the Inner Circle and the Elites are kind of even. It's even playing field between them. Even when you have, you know, one half of a tag team against arguably the leader of the Elite or one of the leaders of the Elite, and, you know, he hung with them throughout the entire match. So I liked how they booked that, because you want to make sure the quote-unquote lower guys of the group, which would be, I guess, Santana Ortiz, since they're the tag team, that even in singles competition, they can hang with the big dogs in the company, the big dogs of the Elite. So I thought this was a great opening segment. It was very, very productive. And, you know, the storyline with Matt Jackson is going to be – or, I'm sorry, with Nick Jackson, it's going to be very interesting going forward, because, you know, there are the reports of his wife being pregnant and having their child soon. As of recording this, I'm not sure if she's had the child yet, but this could be a way to write him off for next week. So that when she does have the child, you know, it all makes sense why he would be there, and then he can come back for blood and guts. But very good opening segment. It was a great start to Dynamite this week. So next on the docket, we got a tag team match in the women's division between Hikaru Shida and Chris Statlander against Bea Priestley and the AEW Women's Champion Nyla Rose. You know what? This was a really fun match, and all four ladies had a really good showing in this. You know, this is going to be something that I'm going to bring up most weeks, is, you know, the thoughts towards the women's division, how, you know, the women's division is down in AEW and is one of the lower parts of it, which is something personally that I disagree with. And I think that it is something that is growing and starting to be better and better every single week. And guys, this was a really good match. This was one of the better women's matches they've had in a while. I thought all four women had a great showing. But with that being said, there are two things in this match that kind of bothered me. And none of them has to do with the women themselves or the match themselves. It was on the production end of it. The first part is that Nyla Rose and Bea Priestley were in control. They were attacking Hikaru Shida in the ring. And Hikaru Shida finally gets free. And she starts going over towards Chris Statlander. And as soon as she gets to Chris Statlander for the hot tag, they go to a commercial. Which I know AEW does the side-by-side, the split screen, which is really cool because it lets you watch the matches as they're going on. But it was kind of a bad timing for a commercial, in my opinion, because Chris Statlander is arguably the hottest and most over female in the women's division of AEW. I mean, she has a huge fan base. The crowd goes nuts for her. And speaking of the crowd, I want to mention how the crowd was completely into this match from start to finish. That they were chanting Sheeta's name over and over. Nyla Rose was getting all kinds of heat from the crowd. I mean, they were big time into this. But as soon as Sheeta made the tag to Chris Statlander, the crowd popped and it went straight to commercial. And I thought that kind of took away from the match a little bit, because the hot tag is a big part of the match. And with Chris Statlander being as over as she is, I think her getting, you know, the fans on TV hearing that reaction from the crowd, I think would have done a lot of good for her. But unfortunately, that didn't happen. And when they came back from commercial, Bea Priestley was actually back in control, and she had a Black Widow submission on her. So that was one thing that kind of bothered me. Before I mention the second thing, I do want to say that that Nyla Rose and Bea Priestley did get the victory here. It was very, very good the way that it ended. It was very fast-paced, and Nyla Rose ended up hitting Shida with the Beast Bomb to get the victory, and Chris Statlander wasn't able to make the save. But after the match, they were showing replays of it, and they come back from the replays, and B Priestley had attacked Nyla Rose, and that it was shocking because, you know, that was Nyla Rose's partner. But with the production being on the replay, we didn't actually see the turn itself. When they came back, B Priestley was stomping on Nyla, but we didn't actually see the moment when she turned, though. So I thought that was kind of a production error by the company also. Two big missed opportunities for the ladies, I thought, especially for B Priestley there at the end, because she's showing that she wants to go for the AEW Women's Championship, and they kind of missed it. They kind of missed the big part of that with her turning on Nyla at the end. So I don't know where they're going with this. I guess you can consider B Priestley one of the contenders, because she technically did get a victory in this over the number one and number three ranked women in the women's division. So, you know, she's going to be up on those rankings a little bit. And by doing this, I guess B Priestley is the next one to go after Nyla Rose. We haven't seen B Priestley, they said, since December 11th of last year on Dynamite. So for her to jump back in here like this and be in the title contention, it's a little weird, But, you know, we'll see where it goes. I like B Priestley. I think she's good in the ring, and she looked really good in this match too. So B Priestley versus Nyla Rose, I'll give it a shot. I'll see how it goes. But after that, we got a video package from Christopher Daniels, and this was really good, guys. If you guys haven't seen this, make sure you go back and see it. It is a... what's the word I'm trying to think of? It is a parody video of the Dark Order's infomercial videos they did earlier this year and late last year, where Christopher Daniels pretty much just talked about how much the Dark Order sucks and how, you know, they're given false prophecies and given all these different promises that they can't keep. And then he ended up challenging Evil Uno and Stu Grayson to singles matches. And he said that he also said that there was no Exalted One, that, you know, the Exalted One didn't exist, and that the way he's going to prove it is by having these singles matches against Uno and Grayson. And when the Exalted One does not come and save them, then it'll prove that there's no Exalted One. So what I took from this is that they're giving us a timeline of when the Exalted One is going to show up. It's probably going to be when he faces Evil Uno, because I figure he's going to face Stu Grayson first. The Exalted One won't show up, and Christopher Daniels will win the match and say, "See, I told you guys he didn't show up." And then when he faces Evil Uno, that's when the Exalted One will show up, either after the match or during the match, to give Uno the victory. So it does give a timetable, in my opinion, of when the Exalted One's going to show up. And it's probably going to be pretty soon, probably over the next couple of weeks. And I know there's all the rumors about Matt Hardy potentially being the Exalted One. Now we know it's not Lance Archer, because Lance Archer is with Jake the Snake Roberts. So it's going to be soon, guys. And I know everybody's getting a little impatient about it, you know, wanting to see who the Exalted One is, wanting to see what this payoff is. And if you guys watched Free the Delete this week, which is on Matt Hardy's YouTube page, it was very interesting because the Young Bucks, quote unquote, buried Matt Hardy and Zenith, which is the entity that lived inside Matt Hardy, as his broken character. Well, at the very end of the video, you hear a laughter that sounded very similar, in my opinion, to Evil Uno's laughter. So it looks like that Matt Hardy is going to be resurrected as somebody. And I think, in my opinion, they are going to go the direction with the Dark Order. So we'll see how it plays out. It is going to be very interesting when it happens. But now we kind of see where they're heading with it, with Christopher Daniels doing this video. And this video is just very entertaining, guys. So if you guys, like I said, if you guys haven't watched it, go back and watch it, because it is very, very good. Next up, we got a 6-man tag team match pitting the Jurassic Express against MJF, The Butcher, and The Blade. Guys, for those of you that are kind of new to AEW, if you guys are listening to this, the Jurassic Express, in my opinion, have been one of the most over groups on the entire show ever since AEW took off. I mean, these guys are getting huge reactions every single place that they go. And, you know, they talk about how nowadays a lot of gimmicks are dead, a lot of gimmicks don't work. And these are supposedly three dinosaur, or like one dinosaur and two guys from the Jurassic era. You know, it's crazy when you think about it. But these guys are so over with the crowd, and they came out and got a huge reaction. There was super loud Luchasaurus chants. And of course, on the other end, the heat on MJF is just nuclear right now. He came out, got booed out of the building, And this was another really good match that I really enjoyed. You would think that Marco Stunt would be the one to take the damage, you know, to be the one in peril. But it was actually Luchasaurus that was in peril through most of this match, with the three heels working over his leg that he had. He came back from injury from a couple of weeks ago, or I guess a couple of months ago. I guess he's been back for a little bit. But Jungle Boy is the one. I've been listening to Jim Ross too much. Jungle Boy gets the hot tag and just goes absolutely crazy in this match, hitting move after move, just completely fluid, completely smooth in everything that he does. And I feel like Jungle Boy is going to be a huge star, guys. It is probably sooner than later. And, you know, they talked about how he's only 22 years old when he came out, which I know is something they say almost every time he comes out there, but it's true how young this guy is, and he's so exciting. And I think the future is going to be incredible for Jungle Boy. But there was a spot in this match that was really cool that I really dug. Marco Stunt went for a suicide dive. He got caught by the Butcher and MJF on the outside. Well, then Jungle Boy hits the ropes and hits a suicide dive on all three of them as they're holding Marco Stunt. And then they get back in the ring and they're about to both jump over, but all of a sudden Luchasaurus runs by and hits a step-up dive that he does, where he steps on the middle rope and then flips over the top rope onto the guys on the outside. It was a really cool spot that I really, really dug. The crowd was going nuts for all of it, but and we knew it was only a matter of time before the Bunny and Wardlow got involved, and they finally did at the end of this match. The Bunny got on the apron, distracted Jungle Boy. He got pushed off the top. Marco was left in the ring, and MJF put the Salt of the Earth submission on Marco to get the victory. So the heels were victorious in this match. But this was a really fun match, and just the stock for Jurassic Express is so high, and it's still rising every single time they come out. These guys are legitimate stars. Especially, I don't want to single Marco Stunt out, but Jungle Boy and Luchasaurus are the ones getting the main reactions. Especially Luchasaurus. I mean, this guy is absolutely insane. He's great in the ring. He's a big muscular guy, and you know, I'm actually a fan. I actually got to know him when he was on the reality show Big Brother, and because I'm a huge fan of the show Big Brother, and I remember when Luchasaurus was on there, and I became a fan of him personally through that. So, well, I shouldn't say personally, but you know, him in real life, I got to know, or you know, got to know him through the show, and he's a really, really good guy. So, but with that being said, this was a really good match. I really enjoyed it. It was a good win for the heels, because MJF's keeping a lot of momentum going. He wore the I Pin Cody shirt when the match first started, so they're still playing up to that. And they mentioned a couple times during the match that MJF is ranked number 2 now, and that people were asking, well, why is Cody still in the rankings if he can't have a title shot? And they explained, because he's a big name and he wins a lot, and so somebody like MJF, whenever he gets a victory, it benefits him and it moves him. It can move other people up in that top slot if they're able to defeat Cody. So I'm glad that they explained that, because a lot of people have been asking about it, wondering why Cody is even on that list if he can't have a title shot. So I thought they did a really good job of explaining that during this match. After this, we got an interview with Dr. Britt Baker, which has been kind of a weekly segment now, where Tony Schiavone stands at the top of the ramp, interviews Britt Baker. There really wasn't a whole lot to this interview. It was Britt kind of just running down the city for different things here and there. But the noteworthy thing to come out of this is Big Swole came out, which if you guys spend a lot of time on social media, you guys have seen that Big Swole has been very boisterous over the last week about some certain things, especially when it comes to her husband, Cedric Alexander, and the way that he was treated on Monday Night Raw. I mean, treated on the main roster kind of in general lately, where she's not very happy about it. And it's never really been said on Dynamite, you know, who her boyfriend is or what he does. But she came out and she was kind of ripping on Britt, and Britt came back and made a comment to her. I'm trying to remember exactly what she said, but she said something along the lines of, the only person relevant in her household is her boyfriend, which, you know, it's out there now that Cedric Alexander is actually her husband, and she said that, and her reply was great, and the crowd gave a good reaction. Big Swole said, just so you know, I'm married, baby, and said that to Britt, and the crowd, of course, you know, reacted strong because it is very, very well known that Britt Baker's boyfriend is the NXT champion, Adam Cole, over in WWE. So this was the end of the segment was really fun. I guess this is I hope this is a feud that they're going with, because Big Swole, I like her, but she kind of needs that. She needs that boost. She needs that something to kind of fuel her to get her up the ladder a little bit, because she really hasn't done a whole lot to make any moves. And Britt Baker is arguably one of the biggest names in the women's division of AEW. And with her being a heel now, and with Big Swole being a face, I think it's a natural rivalry. So I do think this is a feud that we're gonna see. It's just kind of the start of one here, and I think it's gonna do Big Swole a lot of good. And obviously I expect Big Swole to probably win this feud just to kind of give her a boost, because Britt Baker, in my opinion, she's a big star. She doesn't need it. This is going to be more of a feud to elevate Big Swole, in my opinion. But, you know, the segment kind of was what it was. When Britt was ripping the crowd, there wasn't a whole lot to it. But once Big Swole came out, she did a good job of kind of upping the intensity, and the trash talking got pretty good, and the crowd really reacted to it. So, and all in all, I thought the segment, it worked for both ladies. Next on the docket, we got another six-man tag team match pitting the debuting Death Triangle, consisting of Pac, Phoenix, and Pentagon, taking on the team of Private Party and Joey Janela. You know, this is a match that I was really looking forward to going into this, because all six of these guys are very, very exciting. They're all high-flying. They're incredible. I'm a big fan of all six of these guys. I'm going to give you guys a little different take maybe than most people is going to give you on this match. So the match was fine for what it was. I mean, it was kind of what you would expect. There's a lot of spots everywhere, a lot of flying around. I thought Private Party especially looked really good in this. A lot of their tag team tandem was very good and very on point. And there was one spot I really enjoyed, where we know Private Party's finished with the Gin and Juice, which is a top rope hurricanrana into a cutter. Well, they actually changed it up slightly, and I forgot which member of Private Party it was, but one of them hit the top rope hurricanrana, but landed on Joey Janela's shoulders, and Janela hit a Death Valley driver out of it. It was very, very impressive. It was a great spot and a great move. But I'm going to tell you guys one thing that kind of bothered me about this match, which I'm a very positive person, especially when it comes to AEW, because I guess I'm one of those guys that doesn't think AEW can do anything wrong, because I enjoy so much of what they do. But I'm going to tell you guys one thing that kind of bothered me about this match. With this match, about 80% of it, Janela and Private Party were on offense, which, you know, normally wouldn't be an issue, but this is the debut of this new trio together that, you know, that were put together last week. This is their first three-on-three match. And I feel like if you're going to put these guys together, they need to have a very strong showing out of the gates. And they were on defense most of this match. They were taking a lot of moves from Janela, from Private Party, a lot of double team moves. And they were on the mat most of the time. It bothered me a little bit, because these guys need to, and if you're going to put this new team together, they really need to take off right out of the gates. They need to be dominant. You know, they need to come out and, I would say, pretty much destroy these three guys and just do it in 4 or 5 minutes, hit all your big moves. And I don't want to say it'd be a glorified squash match, but it needs to be a very, very dominant win for these guys. And that's not what this was. This was them surviving against Private Party and Joey Janela. And they did look good at the end of the match. They ended up hitting the double stomp package pile driver that the Lucha Bros do. And Pac ended up hitting the Black Arrow for the victory. So Death Triangle did win the match. And then afterwards, they put on this three-way submission type thing, which they're calling the Death Triangle. So it's an actual move. And it ended up getting broken up by the Best Friends and Orange Cassidy. But I don't know, like, just something about this match just kind of irked me a little bit, I guess, that I really wanted Death Triangle to have a great showing here. And I thought they would. When I heard this match was announced, I'm like, okay, Private Party and Joey Janela, they're, you know, they're not guys that are in title contention or anything. They're kind of the mid-card, upper mid-card. And this would be a great victory for these three guys, talking about the Death Triangle, to come out have a great dominant showing and kind of put the rest of the trios on notice. And I was surprised with the booking decision here on what they decided to do. It was a good win for them, and they were standing tall pretty much to end the segment. But I don't know. It just, maybe I'm overthinking it. It is possible I could be doing that. It just kind of bothered me a little bit. Hopefully they have a stronger showing next week, because they need to have that big moment, you know, to really, for people to really sit back and go, wow, these guys are legit and they're for real. So hopefully we'll get that here pretty shortly. After the tag match, we got an interview backstage with the Natural Dustin Rhodes. Dustin was very, very fired up and pretty much told Hangman Page, hey, whether you like it or not, I'm your partner tonight. It's going down. We're tired of the Inner Circle running roughshod and attacking his family. And he said pretty much that, and that he was going to be Hangman's partner no matter what. So good, quick promo here by Dustin. He showed a lot of intensity. I really liked it a lot. And looks like Dustin's going to be the tag team partner for Hangman Page in the main event against Chris Jericho and Sammy Guevara. So a couple of newsworthy things happened right after this. We got an announcement that the Exalted One will be showing up on Dynamite next week. And I think this is a big announcement to make. And especially with what Christopher Daniels said earlier about the singles matches, it completely takes away what I said earlier in the show about what they're going to do. And, you know, my plan's completely out the window. So they made the announcement. The Exalted One will be on Dynamite next week. So I'm looking forward to that. I'm really looking forward to find out who it is. I don't know if they're going to swerve us. AEW is usually pretty good about keeping their promises and keeping their announcements. So, guys, I would expect this time next week we're going to know exactly who the Exalted One is in AEW. Whether it be Matt Hardy, whether it be Brody Lee, there's a couple other names out there that it could possibly be, but those are probably the two front runners. But yeah, next week, guys, AEW announced, we will find out who the Exalted One is. The other news thing to come out before we get to the main event is that there will be a 3-on-3 match next week, putting the Elite versus the Inner Circle. They haven't said which members yet, but whoever wins the match will get the advantage in the Blood and Guts match in 2 weeks. They also announced the rules of Blood and Guts, which is pretty much the exact rules of an old school War Games match, where two men will start for 5 minutes, and then the next member will come out, and then every 2 minutes, the next member of the alternate team will come in until all 10 wrestlers are in the ring. The match will officially start. There's no pinfall in this match, and there's no escape from the cage, obviously, because there will be a roof on it. And the only way to win is to make one member of the other team either submit or say that they cannot continue. So old school War Games, that's exactly what this is going to be. That match is going to be incredible. I can't wait to call that match and to talk about it with you guys. I'm a huge fan of War Games. I've loved the War Games matches they've done in NXT. I know that they've been a little bit different. They've been tweaked just a hair, especially with the cage not having a roof on it. But the way this one is going is legit 100% old school War Games. So that match is going to be a lot of fun. I can't wait for it. So now it's main event time, guys. We got a tag team match pitting Chris Jericho and Sammy Guevara from the Inner Circle versus Hangman Adam Page and the Natural Dustin Rhodes. As I mentioned earlier, Dustin pretty much told Hangman, you don't have a choice. I'm going to be your partner. And that's exactly what we got. And this was a fun main event. Dustin, man, he impresses me so much. The fact that he's in his 50s, I think Jim Ross said during this match, he's been doing this for 31 years, which is crazy. He's been doing this longer than Hangman's almost been alive, and longer than Sammy Guevara has been alive for sure. So this is, it's, you know, the way Dustin's moving around, the way he's doing his moves, he's completely rejuvenated, and he looks absolutely incredible. This was a really fun match. It was a really fun main event. And man, I gotta tell you guys, Adam Hangman Page is on fire right now. And I know Jim Ross, if you guys listen to him, he made it well known that Hangman's probably the hottest wrestler in the company right now. And he's right. And, you know, he's getting great crowd reactions. He looks great in the ring. And I said back when Jericho and Hangman had their title match, that Hangman wasn't quite ready yet. That, you know, he was known for his stints in Ring of Honor and some stuff that he did while being part of the Bullet Club and the Elite and stuff. But he wasn't quite ready to have the AEW World title. And as we know, in my opinion, I think the right call was definitely to put it on Chris Jericho, because Jericho elevated that title and made that title something special and made it very, very meaningful. So now, you know, now that Jon Moxley has it, he's just going to continue to make the title as good as he can. And but Heyman's getting to that level now where, man, he's a star. He is a huge star, and he had a great showing in this. He and Dustin ended up getting the victory. Dustin hit a destroyer, and if I'm not mistaken, it was on Guevara. When Guevara popped up, Heyman hit the buckshot lariat for the victory. So big win for the Elite here. But as soon as the match ended, they got attacked by all the members of the Inner Circle. Kenny came out trying to make the save, but he has the broken hand. He was beat down instantly. They targeted his hand. And in a shocker, Cody came back. Cody came back from the hospital because he and, if I didn't mention earlier, he and Matt Jackson had left with Nick while Nick got rushed to the hospital. So Cody shows up and he gets beaten down, and Ortiz ends up hitting a suplex on Cody on the rings or on the stage, which is kind of similar to what Cody did to Ortiz during their match earlier in the night. After this, we got the Inner Circle grabbing Heyman Page and dragging him up to the top of the stage. And they were pretty much playing off that they were going to do the exact same thing to him they did to Moxley last week by powerbombing him off the stage. They lifted him up, and as they were about to ready to powerbomb him, Matt Jackson comes out from the back and just goes crazy on the Inner Circle, hitting super kicks on everybody. He hits a double spear on Santana and Ortiz, completely takes out the Inner Circle. Crowd's going absolutely nuts for this. This was a very, very fun segment. But after he does, he turns to Hangman, who's kind of on one knee, and he flips him off. He puts his middle finger right in front of Hangman's face, which is exactly what Hangman did to him last week. So there's still a lot of bad blood there between Matt Jackson and Heyman Page, which we kind of talked about earlier, and they made it known that they're continuing this. So let's talk about what happened after this, which is going to be kind of the elephant in the room. It's going to be kind of the talking point coming out of Dynamite this week. Is as Matt Jackson turns around, Chris Jericho blasts him in the head with a chair shot, and then he turns and he hits Heyman Page in the head with a chair shot. The difference between the two is that Matt Jackson didn't get his hands up. He took a direct chair shot to the head. Heyman was actually able to at least get his hands up and block it. You know, guys, I've been kind of back and forth on the whole chair shot to the head thing. I'm an old school wrestling fan. I've been a wrestling fan since the early 90s. So I've been there through all the chair shots. I understand how dangerous they are and how, you know, everybody knows more about concussions and CTE and stuff like that. And we saw what happened to Cody when Sean Spears hit him and busted him open and everything went wrong. And, you know, it came out that was a gimmick chair and it just malfunctioned and it cut the back of Cody's head open. But, you know, chair shots to the head are dangerous, and, you know, they got to be done right. And obviously Chris Jericho is a legend. He's one of the best of all time. And I know me personally, if I'm going to trust anybody to hit me in the head with a chair, it's going to be Chris Jericho. So yeah, I mean, there's going to be conflicting thoughts on this. I'm okay with it. I mean, it added a lot of heat to the segment. It added heat to Chris Jericho. And in my opinion, that's on Matt Jackson. That's on Matt Jackson to get his hands up. He knew the spot was coming, obviously, and he decided to take an unprotected chair shot to the head. It's the same thing I said about Cody when Sean Spears hit him. You know, if you're going to do chair shots to the head, there are safe ways to do it. Put your hands up. Stone Cold's talked about it multiple times in interviews and on his podcast and stuff like that, where get your hands up, block it. You know, it's still going to have the same effect with the crowd and with the viewers that it's a chair shot to the head, but you're going to be blocking a lot of the force that comes through it. And Matt Jackson didn't do that. Matt Jackson took a straight chair shot to the head. So it was a brutal spot, but I'm not putting that on Jericho at all. I think that's on Matt Jackson. So, you know, Matt probably wanted to take it without putting his hands up to up the physicality, to make it more meaningful, which is probably the same mindset that Cody had too. But guys, you got to protect yourselves. I mean, a chair shot to the head is no joke. We've seen what's happened to certain people after taking too many of them. And I know we're in a time period now where they don't happen very often. They're very few and far between when they do. But you know, you gotta protect yourself, guys. And especially with as physical as a style as a lot of these AEW wrestlers wrestle, adding chair shots to hit on top of it, it's just, it's not good. So make sure, you know, guys, you gotta protect yourself. And just, yeah, that's pretty much all I gotta say about it. But after this happened, the Inner Circle kind of celebrated around the fallen bodies. They Jericho folded the chair out, sat it on top of Matt Jackson, and then sat on the chair, and all the members of the Inner Circle posed for the camera, flipping off the camera like they did last week after Powerbomb and Moxley, showing that they're a unified force and that they're ready to go heading to Blood and Guts in 2 weeks and heading into the six-man tag next week. It was a really hot closing to the show. I thought it was very well done. You know, I think a reason they do this, I know they like to take shots at WWE, and people, especially online fans, are very smart about how certain things are done. And we know one of the things WWE does that frustrates a lot of people is the 50-50 booking. And by having the Inner Circle stand tall 2 weeks in a row, it really helps them out a lot. It shows that they're not messing around, that they're focused, they're ready to go, they're a legit group, and, you know, like I said, standing tall 2 weeks in a row is a great showing. And it shows that the Elite have a long way to come, because there's dissension between the Young Bucks and Hangman, especially Matt Jackson and Hangman. You got Kenny with the broken hand. You got Nick Jackson in the hospital now. I mean, the Elite are falling apart heading into this Blood and Guts match. But you know what? It's good booking. I love the booking of this, because you want your heels to look completely unstoppable going into this match, and you want to put as much sympathy on the baby faces as you can. And they've done a great job of that, in my opinion. I don't know where they're heading with the whole injury with Matt or with Nick Jackson. We kind of mentioned it earlier that his wife is pregnant. Maybe it's a way to write him off TV for 1 week. I think possibly there's a chance if they want to keep Nick out of the match that they're going to put Moxley in it. I didn't mention it earlier, but right before the main event, Jim Ross did an interview with Moxley at his house, and it was a real quick interview, but Moxley pretty much put the Inner Circle on notice and said that they didn't get the job done. He's still standing, and, you know, they're focused on the Elite right now, but in their blind spot is Jon Moxley, and he's going to be staying there. So Moxley obviously has the issue with the Inner Circle, and I think it is possible, depending on what's going on with Nick Jackson, if that Moxley could be in that Blood and Guts match here in 2 weeks. I think right now they're kind of just making different options for Nick Jackson's wife. You know, she, whenever she's going to have her baby, because obviously he wants to and needs to be there for her whenever she has their child. So I like the booking. I like what they're doing, and they're keeping the options open for what happens. So good episode of Dynamite this week. There's a lot of good matches. You know, there was a couple things I nitpicked. You know, the broadcast stuff during the women's match, and the way that the Death Triangle was booked are two things that I wasn't a big fan of. But everything else I thought was really good. I thought the in-ring work was incredible by everybody, which is no surprise. I mean, the in-ring work normally is completely on point by AEW and everybody on their roster. So overall, a really good show, guys. I'm looking forward to next week. Technically, I guess it's the go-home for Blood and Guts. We got the six-man tag match. We got the Exalted One. They're going to be revealing the Exalted One next week. So big show, guys. And I hope you guys are here with me next week as we break it down. I hope you guys enjoyed this show. Like I mentioned earlier at the beginning, guys, make sure you guys subscribe to the podcast and all your podcasting platforms. And make sure you guys check out the other shows as well. Everybody part of the WWE podcast family does an amazing job on their shows. And, you know, send them a lot of love and send them your support, because everybody works very hard on this. And like I said, they put out great products. So until then, guys, I hope you guys have a great rest of the week, and I will see y'all next week. Take care.